Good morning, church. It's a delight to be here this morning as we are worshiping our Lord in a completely different way. But I want to encourage you, the message that Gus is going to bring today from God's Word will lift up your heart and give you great encouragement for God's sovereignty. Let me just begin by giving you a few announcements as we usually do. The first one is simply this. As you know, I love to pray, and I would love to hear from you if you have any prayer requests. Don't hesitate to email me those prayer requests at pastorgarman@gmail.com, and just let me know how you're doing, whatever request you have, and I will add it to my prayer book right here. And then every day when I get up and do my devotions, I have a time of prayer and will lift you before the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you know a couple other things. One, we're going to be streaming next Sunday at 8:30. And we'll be doing our services that way. And then after that, they'll be available on the First Baptist Church webpage. And then on Easter, there is a promo video on our webpage. I'd like you to take a look at that. But we are going to be streaming at Easter at 10 o'clock, which is what time we had scheduled for in the park. So Easter Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Look forward to that day, and we're going to be worshiping the Lord together. Now, there's one thing, and I know this is difficult because we all don't get the opportunity to participate together, but we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to bring back an old tradition. You remember when we used to flower the cross on an Easter Sunday morning? Well, we're going to do that again. We're going to have the cross that's going to be available in the courtyard on Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you're going to be allowed to come on into the courtyard and then put in flowers. Now, the flowers we're asking you to bring are the artificial silk flowers. That way it'll will last, because we're going to take those flowers and that cross, and we're going to take it to the vineyard at Sculptura, where Gus is going to be preaching, and that's going to be part of the background. So I want you to take advantage of that. If you have some silk flowers, please do so, bring them. And if you don't have silk flowers, there will be some available there along with hand sanitizer. So we're looking forward to you participating together with us. And then the last thing I want to tell you is just this. Check our First Baptist Paso webpage for all kinds of wonderful updates. We've got women's ministry updates there, daily touch points at 10 o'clock. A band of brothers is going to be doing something different. We're going to have a roundtable discussion, and that's coming up real soon. And we'll post that on the church website as well. So stay healthy, and I sure miss you. I look forward to when I can hug you again. And God bless you this day as we worship the Lord together. Church, let's do something that we love to do. I know you can't hug everybody here, but turn around to somebody in your family and give them a big hug. Tell them that you love them. And I want you to do something after that. I want you to stand with me. We're going to join the Voorhees family from their house as they lead us in worship this morning.
Yeah. church that we often do in person that's more difficult to do, it seems, in this time when we're apart. And that's just to share those prayer requests with us and with each other, to bring those before the Lord together as a church. The best way we know how to do that in this time is to just write those prayer requests down in the comments right below this video. Maybe you have the name of a loved one that you're praying for that you'd want to jot down, or a situation that you're facing that you're asking the Lord for special grace to persevere through. Maybe you've got a praise that you want to offer. Just write it down in those requests, and let's pray for those things together. Let's continue to uphold one another in prayer. I'll give you just a moment as you write, as you think, as you share. Let's write those things down in the comments. To the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, to the one who's already won the battle. Church, when we come and we pray, we uphold these requests together before our God. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. So let's celebrate, church, and let's sing King of Kings.
church, it's now time to us to give and worship the Lord Jesus Christ together as we come before Him. We wish to give our offerings to Him with much thanksgiving. Again, if you're not able to be or bring your check by or mail it, you can certainly do that online. It's at fbcpaso.org, or you can mail your check in. Or from 9 to noon, the church is going to be open every day this week, and you can bring your check by if you would like to do that. And please be faithful in that. We don't want to fall behind, and we're just asking you as God's people to continue being faithful. Join with me in prayer, would you? Father in heaven, we come before you in this time of crisis where many people are worried and concerned. We truly do lift all of our anxiety and fear that we have and give it to you. You've told us to cast it upon you because you love us, Father. And so we're asking you to take our fears and our worries this day. We ask, Father, that you would bring us great comfort and hope because our hope is in you. And this has not caught you by surprise. You are a good, loving, and sovereign God who knows all things. So, Father, would you please comfort your people? I also ask at this time that you would bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones. For the Godfrey family, Lord, I continue to lift Art up before you and the entire family and the loss of Pam. I know they want to get together and have a homegoing celebration for her, but they're unable to, Lord, at this time. So would you comfort them? And the same for Gus and Karen, Lord, and their family. I ask a blessing on them. And then, Lord, for Bob King, who's also lost his mom, Mary. For Stephen and Susan, Lord, would you give them comfort as well? I thank you for your love and your grace that's been manifested in her life. And Lord, we just ask that your peace would be with them. For Nick Bogdan, Lord, in the healing of his hand. For Jerry Bonnefeld, who is struggling with some heart issues, Lord. And for Cal, who has broken his hip, Father, I just ask that you bring him comfort and healing. Many needs that we have. But most of all, Father, right now we're asking for your presence. Lord, would you please give us a special reminder of who you are and your grace. And as you touch each one of us, may we find a deeper shade of grace and love that you have given to us. Bless your church, even though we cannot gather together corporately in worship. We long for that day when we'll be able to do that, Father. What a day that will be. And may we never forsake the assembling of ourselves together as long as we are able to do so. So bless us now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. For our offertory, we have Reuben, who is going to be doing a special song to the river. Enjoy this just before our message.
good morning, men and women of God. Talk about a different time we're all in. I know you've all been watching the news. And most everybody's in their homes. You might get to go to Walmart, watch everybody's face, see the tape on the floor, go to Albertson, see the tape on the floor, keep our distance, our social distancing. And so here we are today, social distancing. But we're also in the presence of Almighty God. And I've been watching, one of the things that's serving to me is to watch all the anxiety, the stress, and the worry going on in our world. People are just wound up, and I'm thinking, our pastor last week spoke on one of the most beautiful things, the sovereignty of Almighty God. And as he was speaking, I kept thinking about Philippians, and then when he asked me to do the benediction, I came up and did that. And so I'm going to be speaking to you today on that. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. We're men and women of God. This is who we are. And what does it all mean? How important is the sovereignty of God in our heart? How is important? I thought of Psalm 139 when it says, He has numbered my days. Is that really true? And if it is, why did He tell me that? So that I could be relaxed in every situation. Most of you know that I've had a few opportunities in my life, and the couple of times I've been in plane crashes, probably the biggest one was when my wife was with me in Africa. And we're going to crash land in Nairobi. And when the pilot gets on, and normally it gives you all kinds of good news, but this one came on and said, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a serious malfunction. We're going to crash land. That's the words he used. And when the pilot says you're going to crash land, there's an opportunity right there with your emotions. And he said, we're going to crash land in Nairobi in about 20 minutes. And he told us what's going to happen. He's going to keep the front wheel off the ground because he said it's frozen solid sideways. And he said, I'll keep it off the ground as long as I can. It'll come to the ground. The plane will make an immediate right turn. It will then begin to roll and come apart. And you that are alive and remain, he said, get away from the aircraft as soon as you can. And so we're going down, and I looked at my wife on that day, and I said, well, honey, I'm sorry I had to bring you to Africa on this trip. I said, if this happens, I'm really sorry for our kids. It's going to take them a while to get our carcasses out of Africa. But as we're going down, and I remember we were heading down, the pilot kept that thing off, and we hit the ground, and we hit the back wheels on there, and I look out the window, and we've got all the seats forward, and I'm looking, and I see fire truck after fire truck, and they're all in silver suits and everything, and all of a sudden, and I looked at my wife just as we were doing that, and I said, well, hon, I'll see you in a minute, one way or the other. And, of course, obviously, we did okay through that thing, and we did go a little sideways, but we didn't turn right, and we didn't roll. And I looked at that, and I said, those are situations out of our control. That's what the beauty of the sovereignty of God is. Mike told us last week, and I wanted to, so what does it mean to believe in the sovereignty of God? What does it actually mean? And Arthur Pink, many, many years ago, wrote a great book on the sovereignty of God. And it says, nothing in all the vast universe can come to pass otherwise than God has eternally purposed. Wow. Here is a foundation of faith. That's what we are. That's what it is to live in this magnificence. That's the stability. That's where the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Here is a resting place for the intellect, the mind. Calms us down. Here is the anchor of the soul. And I love these terms. Both sure and steadfast. The Lord Almighty who is ruling the world. That's sovereignty. Ruling it according to his own good pleasure and for his own eternal glory. Wow. Men and women of God, we're in that place now. They're not a thing we're controlling. I mean, our government's telling us that we can't have church. Our government's telling us all these things about this coronavirus. And so where are we? If we're, some of us, that we've been given this opportunity so we can understand the magnificence of the faith and the joy of the Lord. And I do hear some sounds of men walking on the roof. So if you hear those sounds, just know they're just working on the roof. I think that's Verizon, I think. But let me give you this. In him, I want to give you out of Ephesians. This is beautiful. The Holy Spirit says to the Apostle Paul, in him we were also chosen. Listen to those words. In him we were also chosen. That's sovereignty. Having been predestined, that's sovereignty. According to the plan of him who works out everything, that's sovereignty. In conformity with the purpose of his will, that's sovereignty. We're not here by mistake. We're not in this generation by mistake. All of this is planned so that men and women might see the glory of his name. He's preparing our world for something. He's allowed this. And men and women of all nationalities, backgrounds, and countries are in a panic. You can hear it on the news. You can watch them. But that's not what we were meant for, men and women of God. The Lord takes no delight at all in us feeling trapped or squirming in a situation. We were men and women who were meant to exalt the Lord in all that we do and to have a resting place. That same resting place you've heard so many times about the Apostle Paul and Silas when they're in that Philippian jail. They had no idea. Yes, you're going to spread the gospel here, but first you need to be beaten and thrown in jail. And right then and there, Paul, you'll know exactly who you are in me. And he couldn't contain himself in the midst of a terrible storm, which he had no control over. He began to lift up and rejoice in the Lord. I look at this, and Christ said it this way to the young ruler. When the young ruler came up and said, what's the most important commandments? He said, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's why this thing is on us now. You're in your homes today. We're worshiping together, though. The church is healthy. We're going to come back to corporate worship someday. But the magnificence of He's released us into total freedom. The Lord gave us this wonderful mind so that we can think freely. We've been redeemed. We're a new man, a new woman in Christ. He gave us a new heart so that we could love freely and not be afraid. I look at this, and He gave me a new will. And for me, that was life-changing completely. A new will. Your will be done, so that I would know that the obeying, and what is part of the obeying, is walking down my road in the magnificence of a new nature. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said about Jesus Christ's mission statement. This is why he was coming. And here's what he said. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. This is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. If that isn't powerful. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. By the way, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is in you. That's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that magnificent? This Sovereign Lord is in me. He has sealed me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is beautiful. To proclaim the freedom to the captives. Freedom from being captive to their own sins. And release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. He is here to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes. Listen to the wonder. Bestow a crown of beauty, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Boy, my wife and I, we know what that is. He's given us gladness even while we were mourning. And all these things, and like Pastor Mike said when he was talking to you, and I was thinking of all the people that have gone before us now, and you can't even have a service because we can't gather together. And the heartache that gives to us. But we've been given gladness here. And he's given a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So men and women, this is the assignment of Christ he was to have. And they will be called oaks of righteousness. Yod of holy, that's us. We've been called oaks of righteousness. And watch this. The planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That's where we are right in this situation. So I look at what Jesus Christ promised to His disciples in John 8. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. What do you mean? You're walking according to what you believe me. You believe what I said is true and you act upon it. Then you will know the truth. When you act upon it, you'll know the truth. What do you mean? You will gnosko. It's intimate within your soul. And the truth, that truth will set you free from all of the anxiety, all the stress, all the worries that the world has. They answered him. I love this. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. I think they forgot the Exodus. There was a time they were 400 years slaves, okay? But that's how they responded. They missed the whole point. How can you say we shall be free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. The truth will set you free from your sinful nature, your anxiety, your stress, and your worry. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice that the knowledge of the truth is freeing, and once you're free in that knowledge, that truth, you are free indeed. Your emotions line up with it. There's a calmness, there's a joy, there's a celebration in the midst of almost any storm. This is an inner emancipation, if you will, of our whole nature. But the truth is that many who believe in Jesus the Christ, they attend church regularly, have chosen to live enslaved with their emotions. They're enslaved. They go into a despair, they go into a worry, they go into stress, they go into an anxiety at the drop of every hat. They cannot seem to get out of this thing. They have given all sorts of addictions opportunities to take control over them. Instead of enjoying the benefits of the freedom that Christ has given, they're living in what I would call like the backwash of an old nature, which seems helpless and hopeless. And really, in the time we're living, Pastor Mike, thank you so much for giving us last week, because I thought, oh, Father, the backwash and the helpless state of men and women of God is so sad, and they're living in worry, stress, and anxiety. Now, let me give you a little thing about the word worry. Worry comes from the German word, Wurgen. And here it is. It means to strangle or choke. So, when we're worried, we're stressed and anxiety, we're choking and strangling all that we're meant to be in Christ. We can't ever get out of it. We fall back into it and we stay strangled. We won't take that deep breath, that inner breath of let the breath of Christ be in you. Take a good deep breath and then shout for joy to the Lord. No matter what's going on, sing to the Lord. I think of this. When worry chokes the truth, then we're unable to enjoy emotionally the joy of the Lord. Worry cuts the circulation off of a life that is meant to be joyful, filled with thanksgiving and freedom. I think what the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ died and set me free. It is for freedom. You mean Christ wants me free? You bet he does. And then he says, stand firm then. That's it. And do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. That right back into that. So what I did last week when I came up for that benediction, I thought I'm going to give it to you in sections. I've got 2 points I just want to give you very quickly. I call it rejoicing, thanksgiving, and praise. Verses 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. You want to have a freedom? Rejoice in the Lord always. Now what does that really mean? It means to rejoice in the Lord always. Even right now, right in your home, where you're sitting or standing. I couldn't be sitting if I was doing that. I'm standing. I mean, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. By the way, it's written as a command. And if we love the Lord, let's get obedient. Boy, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want? Rejoice. I have set you free. You don't have to have anxiety, worry, and stress. I promise you, you have sought my kingdom, righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to meet every need along your journey. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let people see what you are. When people are in the storms and they can't understand, let them see you. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. There it is. Be thankful in everything. Present your requests to God. And here it goes. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this. The first thing I can tell, of course, you've heard me so many times say this anyway, and our band of brothers knows it right well. You know, the Psalm, let's just assume today the Word of God is true, okay? And so, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. What will He do? Give you the desires of your heart. I want to rejoice in you, Lord. That's what I want to do. You've commanded me here. Well, then I'm going to rejoice. Rejoicing is not only a command, it in place of anxiety or worry or stress that you can fall into out of an old habit, some of us have dug like a trench in our emotions. We just fall back into these things. You don't want to live there. It'll cause you to be unhealthy. Doctors have proven that when people are under stress all the time, they're shortening their life. Don't go there. God's called you to freedom. We don't need to be in that place. I call it like loosen up, shake it off a little bit. For me, back in my young days, and when I would do this, my wife can remember this, when I had a few days of just being wound up about people's attitudes. And so I would take a 50-mile mountain bike ride up through the mountains. And you'd have to understand, a 50-mile mountain bike ride is quite a ride. It was quite a deal. But man, did I loosen up. And I said, now you may not have to do that, but I just tell you, I want to encourage you, just loosen up a little bit. I mean, look at the magnificence of what this is. You know, and the other thing, and we're all kind of hunkered down, whatever they call this thing, you know. And so you're probably watching more TV than you've watched in a long, long time. So watch less crude movies, violent movies, or sexual movies. Don't watch those things. If you're going to watch some kind of a movie, watch something that will lift you up. But rejoice. Enjoy the things. Put a smile on your face. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, that anxious is, that's a beautiful thing. Tensions and stress will seriously kind of ruin the home. Have you ever been on a vacation with somebody or been in a room where everybody's rejoicing? Maybe you're having a birthday and then someone walks in with a sorry attitude. What happens to the whole room? It just sinks. We weren't created for this. I usually think of those moments as teachable moments. I'm going to instruct somebody. Much of what we're anxious over never happens anyway. I was talking with a dear friend of mine. His name is Charlie Potts. He's one of the most brilliant, common sense men I've ever known in my life. Charlie is now up in his, I think he's 83 years old. I hope you're going to watch. You're watching this today, Charlie. I do. I really do. Because I looked and I said, thank you, Charlie, for what you did. He says, you know, everyone's all stressed out over things they can't handle it, and they have no control over it. And it doesn't matter. God is sovereign. What he has planned will take place in our life. And I said, amen. Listen to what they, so lighten up. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 out of the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. My wife and I have lived that way our whole almost 50 years. Actually, in Christ, probably at least 46, 47 years of that 50 has been that way. Where even we're in a financial pinch, my wife would many times say, hon, have we been seeking his kingdom? I don't know, I think we have. What? And we would kneel down in prayer together and all of a sudden discover we hadn't been. And it wasn't with a slap in your face. It was, Father, we're here for you. We're here to seek your kingdom and live righteously. We're here after your will. And all of a sudden we thought we got somehow a little bit sidetracked into the business of our own affairs. We stopped talking. All of a sudden we realized, whoops, we weren't honoring the Lord with our finances. We were partially honoring, but we did not. And we would do this over and over and over again. And what would happen? The peace of Christ would overrule our heart. And things just began to happen. I don't know how to describe these magnificent things. Don't worry about anything. That means don't worry about anything. Instead, by prayer, pray about everything. That sounds like something else I heard. Be joyful always, pray all the time, and give thanks in everything. Tell God what you need. Go, he's your Father. He loves you. Thank him for what he has done. Always. It's fun to praise God. Then, here it is. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I love that. Which exceeds anything I can understand. I can't grasp. My understanding cannot grasp what's going on. What's happened with our jobs. What's happened with our community. I can't grab it. But his peace is guarding me. His peace will guard your hearts. That's my emotions. And my mind, my intellect, as I live in Christ Jesus. And I love this term, guard. Most of you know it. You've been known me long enough. I've been a former Marine, and I don't know. I don't know why it made such an impact on my life. I was in the Marine Corps for 3 years. Maybe it's because of all the combat I was in. I've always wondered, what is it that just nailed me so much? But I love this term, guard. The peace of God will guard your hearts, guard your emotions. Guard my emotions. The peace of God will guard my emotions and will guard my mind in Christ Jesus. And the term guard is a military term. It is a marching sentry on duty. That's what it means, the guard. It's just like a sentry. You've seen pictures. Maybe some of you have been on guard duty at times. And he's marching around guarding so everyone can be at rest, that everyone can be, that he's guarding can be at rest. They don't have to worry. And when you begin to look, you transfer your anxiety and your stress to God, he puts a sentry on duty. And his name is peace. Now, how cool is that? He just does it for us. And we're awakened and newness of life. And I look at it. And then verse 8 and 9 I want to give to you. The mind of faith. The mind of understanding faith. Everything is in our life is truly by faith. Do we really believe God that He is sovereign? Do we believe that He is the blessed controller of all things? Do we believe that He saw us before we were born? Do we believe that our names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life before there was a creation? Do we believe that He chose us? Do we believe we've been predestined? Do we believe these? Yes. Well, then this beautiful, beautiful section here in the Word of God. Finally, brothers, finally, my sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, wow, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's like discipline. That's like, why not choose to think this way?
Yeah.
That's kind of like, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's the ideal. That's what people are like, what changed me? That. God gave me a new mind and a new heart, and I applied it. I said, amen, I'm going to do it. I never liked the way I was thinking anyway. My old way of thinking was lousy. I'd get irritated, angry. I don't know if I really worried as much as I caused stress on other people. But somehow I did that. I wasn't even aware of it, but I did it. Whatever you have learned or received, now listen to this, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, I love this, or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, there it is again, the God of peace will be with you. Wow. Three simple exercises you can do in your homes today. And talk about it around your home. Talk it to your children. Be the examples of your children. They need to see in mom and dad the magnificence of this new nature. Feeding the mind on positive thoughts. Feeding the mind on the glory of God. Feeding the mind that I know in whom I have believed. Feeding the mind when all of a sudden you just start singing, blessed be the name of the Lord, or victory in Jesus, or whatever you want to sing. The song that lifts you up. I look at this. These things displace anxiety, where you can't have anxiousness and stress when you're praising God. It just doesn't work. It's exciting to be in these times. I used to think, I thought, when I was a young man and I'd come to Christ and back in the days of school and learn all this Greek language that we thought was so important. And I thought, man, I just wish I could have lived either in the time to see Christ and walk with Him as a disciple or in the last days. It looks like we may get the last days, this global stuff going down. I'm really pumped over this. Yes, Lord, come quickly, Lord. Rock and roll this place. I can't wait to hear the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. And let us, everyone will be impressed, I promise. Everyone. And then, so feeding your mind on positive thoughts. Secondly, focusing our attention on positive mentors. Who do you know around you that just seems to be up? A man or a woman of God that just believes and lives what they say they believe. Get around them. Have some positive input into your life. I think that's why we so much enjoy our Band of Brothers a lot. Our Band of Brothers comes and we've got 36 different churches there. And these men come and they are inspirational to one another. I look at, you know, a positive model gives everyone a boost. We love being around people that you just know there's going to be an encouraging word because that's what they are. And three, finding our peace with God in every circumstance. This is what we were meant to be. So men and women of God, instead of being held captive by tensions and stress or worry, we find ourselves recognizing God's hand in everything. This virus is not new to God. It didn't surprise Him at all. And what hasn't surprised Him is the panic in the world. The world is in a panic, and we are the stable ones. There is a truth, God Almighty. He has given us His nature. He has redeemed us. He has rebirthed us. We have every right to rejoice in Him. We have every right to be joyful in Him. We have every right to delight in Him. So I say this, anxiety and worry forces us to focus on the unknown events of things we cannot change and mostly never happen. Instead of the essentials, we worry about non-essentials. So let us be men and women to look at the known blessings of God each day. If we follow the Lord's stated procedure, once knowing Jesus the Christ, we will free ourselves in a new habit of rejoicing, a new habit of giving thanks, habits, and a new habit of being overwhelmed by God's peace and grace. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Someone said that once. I think it's in the Word of God, and you know what it is, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Lord loves you. He will never stop loving you. He will never stop loving you and taking care of you. And all we do is we praise Him and live by faith. Trust Him in everything, like the old hymn used to be, trust and obey. The blessings of the Lord to you and your family, now and forever. God bless you.
For me.
Wow.
What a beautiful song. One day he's coming, glorious day. Gus, amen. Thank you for that message. I was thinking of this passage of scripture as you were preaching. It says, be sober-minded and watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour.
Yeah.
But what is interesting, you ask yourself, how does he do that? How does he accomplish that? It's the verse before us that tells us how to defeat him. Casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
So let's
Amen.
Defeat the evil one by casting all of our cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and has given his life for
with
you.
With thanksgiving.
Amen.
Cast them and be happy about it. Be really happy about it. And also, we want to remind you about this coming Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2. Come on down to the church in the courtyard. There'll be the cross. There is going to be a bucket of flowers you can put in there. But if you have your own, and isn't it, did you say, Mike, that's
silk flowers.
Silk flowers.
Right.
Silk flowers. And put it in the cross, because we're going to have, you're going to participate with us on that day. Even if we can't physically be together, you're going to touch that cross and we're going to celebrate our Lord on that day together. So we look forward to that.
Can't wait for that. God bless you. Praying for all of you. Again, if you have any prayer requests, just email them in. We will be faithful in prayer for you.
Amen.
He loves you. Blessings on your day.
God bless.